it's a very live mic, so we don't want to burst your eardrums. Maybe we don't need it. We need it.
I think
put
we're
it
gonna
forward.
Need it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
Does that feel safer? Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. Oh, thank you.
cheer from everywhere filling the air. Oh, how they pound, raising the sound, o'er hill and dale, telling the tale. Yea, yea, ring, while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Ding, ding, merry, 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 ding, dong. Ding, ding, merry, 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 ding, dong. On and they send, on without end, their joyful tone to every home. Dong, 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 sweet silver bells all seem to say, throw cares away. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, weak and the bold. Ding, dong, ding, dong, dong, dong is their song. Ding, joyful ring, dong, caroling. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they come, raising the sound.
Oh, sorry. This is a hot mic. Sorry. My new bestie said it would be okay if I did a quick plug for our next show. So I will just quickly tell you that tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. at Creekside Commons, which is also the Lutheran Church sanctuary that is just off of Carroll Lane in Lafayette, we are doing a concert version of Wicked and The Wiz and The Wizard of Oz, and it's featuring 20 of our like most professional seasoned performers. We actually have a performer who flew in from New York to help direct and be and star in The Wiz portions of it. So I just wanted to do a quick plug. The ticket, you can buy them at the door or online at peterpanfoundation.org, and it is tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and I hope to see your beautiful faces. And thank you very much.
And just so you all know, Moms Council gave the Peter Pan Foundation a donation in honor of these lovely women, so. Wow, that really kicked off the season, didn't it? Feels like Christmas now. Okay, moving on with our program. Got to keep it moving. All right. I have the pleasure of introducing the next part of our program, Penny Glover, who is our testimony speaker this morning. Penny is a lifelong Christian, a wife, and a mom of human and animal children, which includes two teenage boys and two 10-year-olds, and owner of a small law firm in Lafayette called Advocate Legal Alliance, which advocates for people young and old facing challenges with institutions such as schools, healthcare organizations, and nursing homes. She also serves as a neutral investigator for California educational institutions. She is a former certified advocate with the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman and current member of the Patient Rights Referral Panel for California Advocates for Nursing Home Reform. She is a speaker and advisor to individuals and organizations seeking to educate children and families about healthy screen use. Please welcome Penny Glover.
Thank you all so much. I am just thrilled to be here and to follow that beautiful presentation of music Music has this way of connecting everyone, baby Jesus, totally dependent upon, thank you, his mom and God, completely dependent. And then connecting that with the angels, and I just love that. How many times do we need the reminder? I don't know. Of this, can you hear me in the back? Okay. This time of year, especially where a lot of amazing things are happening, but sometimes it's a lot as a mom just to take it all in and to do everything that needs to be done. So I'm going to take you on my journey today and just to share some encouragement with you, and hopefully you can take it along with you on your journey. I recently moved back from the East Coast. I lived in Moraga for many years, and then during COVID, escaped California. Wonderful. Moved to northern New Jersey, and this picture behind me is one of my very, very happy places in New Jersey during fall. And I am a hiker, love to hike, and there aren't very many hills in northern New Jersey. So I found trails, and this is Lowantaka Brook, or Lowantaka, depending on who you are, reservation. And I would escape, hike 8 to 9 miles through this, and it just kept going. And it was all good and peaceful until I discovered that they have hunting season in New Jersey, bow hunting. And so one day, out of these beautiful trees emerged a bow hunter. And suddenly my peace went away, and I realized I should be wearing fluorescent colors. So I learned a lesson, but this is my happy place. So my journey began many, many years ago. This was right after our honeymoon. We packed up our belongings, my husband and I, and we moved from San Diego, California to Lubbock, Texas. We lived there, survived there for 2 years, and this is all for schooling. Then we went to Colorado, where my husband was getting his PhD in science. I pursued a law degree, and we eventually made our way to California. At Northern California, I won't go into any further details about our move, but we have moved a lot, and this moving truck has become a symbol of our marriage. We have moved more times than I can count. We now have 4 kids, but we had 14 years without kids, so we went from a professional couple to professional parents. We have pets. I have 2 teenagers and twins who are 10, so things are a little busy. We've seen lots of challenges, but tremendous blessings. So as I take you through my journey, and hopefully it's more about the people I've encountered and not so much my journey, I want us to learn some things that I've learned, which is to cherish our community, to really find and use our spiritual gifts, and then to come to that place of 100% total dependence on God. I'm struggling with that one. I always have. I probably always will. Let's talk about community. As a professional mover, I've had to establish communities very quickly and learn how to say goodbye to those communities. Some of the friends here are my old friends, and you'll know that you've said hi to me. Oops. We'll take a break for a second. Check your phones. Okay. Powerful waves. Okay, not sure what that is, but I think we're okay here. I think we're okay. So on the East Coast, we got those warnings all the time. all sorts of weather, and we lived on this spot in northern New Jersey where we didn't see any of the weather, but the news was saying that we were dumped upon with snow and all that kind of stuff, so it was, we kind of got used to those warnings. So I've learned to say hello, goodbye to communities. Many of you in this room may know me from several years ago. We lived in, left Moraga, went to northern New Jersey, and came back a year and a half ago. And I've really learned in this process of moving all over the place that I have to find my community, and I have to do it quickly. I have a special relationship, I always have, with my dry cleaner. Wherever I live, I love my dry cleaner. And in this picture, I'm wearing an apron in there, and we're baking apple pies. In New Jersey, my mom was passing away in Boise, Idaho, and we were in northern New Jersey, and I could not get away. And I would go talk to my dry cleaner, and they were these Korean dry cleaners, and one of the women reminded me of my mom, and it was such a blessing. I'm not Korean. I have no idea why she reminded me of my mom, but she did. And one day, one of them went to Korea and came back with this apron and said, I was the best customer ever. And they gifted me with this apron. And it is so, so special to me. And when we made apple pies this fall out of Gravenstein apple pies, which were very special to my mom, I wore the apron. And so I've learned to look for my community wherever I am, on BART, at my dry cleaner. Intergenerational Orchestra, I did that in New Jersey with my son. It was amazing. Anywhere I'm going, I have my community. And I have to ask, what's God teaching me through that community? Am I becoming a better person, or are they dragging me to a place maybe I shouldn't go? When I lived here before, I had a preschool group of moms. We had a lot of fun. They were fun people, but they were nasty. And right? And once my kids saw the text string and they were like, Mom, you know, what are they saying, these nasty moms? And so you need to, like, stay, you know, connected to God and make sure your community, whether it's your dry cleaner or, you know, someone on BART or someone that you're running into, like, why has God put them in my life? And am I growing closer to God, or am I kind of going the other direction? And then am I using my gifts to bless other people? Just a reminder, we all have gifts, right? We all have gifts. So you have to find your gifts. A good reminder, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. And that's just a good reminder, right? How am I finding my gifts? This is a representation of my professional journey. It's totally one-dimensional here. It doesn't mention my family. It doesn't mention how my faith played into it all. But you can see it starts on your left, I guess, where I was a nursing home junior volunteer in high school, and that planted a seed. I had a nursing home that I went to, and I spent every Saturday there doing everything. And this was at the time in legislation where people had just realized that nursing homes are not a nice place, that they have lots of problems. And for whatever reason, they allowed people to come in and be volunteers. And so this is way back in the day, and it just touched my heart what I saw there. And I've always said, I wish I could do a volunteer job just like that for the rest of my life. I wish I could do that. And my entire life, I've searched for that. How can I be a candy striper again, right? And but then I grew up and I went to law school, and I found other things. And I won't go through all these details. You can see I've done a lot of things. You kind of sneak through general civil litigation was my first real attorney job. And that was thankfully not the height of my career, because by the height of my litigation career, where I'm in court all the time, I represented car dealers, companies that made asbestos, and my favorite one was two porn companies sued each other, and I filed the motion to get the case dismissed. So you kind of have to take what you get, right? And at that point, that was 4 years into my legal practice, I said, I'm done. There is no good in my career. There is nothing coming from this. I'm making the world a worse place. And so I tried to get out. And I applied for jobs, and I did all this stuff, and no one would take me, I guess, if I wanted to get nothing. But at this point, I was the sole breadwinner. And I found education law, and I became an education law attorney, and I represented school districts and community colleges, and I wore the white hat, or I thought I did. And I did that for about 15 years, and I really, really was so grateful to be in that space. I saw what happened behind the scenes. I got to make policy decisions and changes, and I felt like I was doing a lot of good stuff. And during that process, I also discovered how technology was being implemented in schools, and I helped shepherd that. And so I got to see into that process, and then I became an investigator, and I saw even deeper what was happening in schools, public schools. And then we moved to New Jersey, and I could no longer practice law because I hadn't taken the bar in New Jersey. And we were only there for 2 years. It wasn't really enough time to dig in. And so I needed to do something. And I found a way back into nursing homes. And I worked for the long-term care ombudsman's office. And I had a nursing home again, just as an advocate. And it changed what I wanted to do. And I brought that back to California. And I started a little law firm where I kind of married my education law background and my desire to help people with their rights, particularly in nursing homes. All that to say, on your journey, just be open to God's leading, because you just don't know where he's going to take you. And he gave me that desire to help that was the seed that was planted back in high school, and he has always honored that. I've had to be patient. It hasn't made sense, but he took me places that are amazing, and I'm so grateful for this journey. In the last couple years, this quote of scripture has really, really come to mind on the left, Micah 6:8. And I just want to share it with you. If you haven't seen it or studied it or heard this, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? And this scripture I have really, really, really taken to heart. I wear it on my wrist. Three things. There are three things we can do: justice, kindness, walk humbly. And when I've really looked at this and dug down, I've realized how connected this scripture is to the greatest commandment, right? The one next to it: love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. And then this third scripture, walking in the same way in which he, Jesus, walked, that's humility. That's that humble peace. And In working in my nursing home in New Jersey, I made a lot of friends. It was just such a beautiful time, in a lot of ugliness, in a lot of hurt and suffering. My nursing home and my clients I have now that are in nursing homes are really, really special to me. And I made so many friends who were dependent upon God. Remember, we were going to talk about the third thing, being dependent upon God. And that's where true humility comes in. That I never really understood that for a long time. What does it mean to be humble? It's walking with God, being completely 100% dependent upon him. And my friends in the nursing home, they were dependent. A lot of them were dependent on nurses, you know, on CNAs. Some of them were dependent on God, and that was beautiful, and some of them were not. So I'm going to tell you about three friends I made in New Jersey. I'm going to start with the last one because she was my more challenging person, Carol. She was not dependent upon God. She struggled in her faith. I think she believed in God, but she had no relationship with Jesus. And as she was passing away, she looked terrified. And I comforted her, and I prayed with her. I still pray for her. But she never made peace, and her family didn't make peace, and they made lots of problems for her. So I'm going to start with her because there is hope, and there is peace. But I look at her, and I think we need to learn from someone who's not at peace at the end of their life that there's a better way, the way that God intended for us. And that way comes from folks like William. William embraced his dependence upon God. He was this man that sounded like James Earl Jones. And the first time I met him, I came in, and let me back up because I have time. I worked for the state just as a volunteer, but my job was to go into my nursing home at any hour of the day, kind of surprise, I'm here. And I had free rein, and I just walked around, and I did whatever I wanted, and I talked to people, went into anyone's room to see how things were going. And in that process, you make friends with people. And sometimes they told me, you know, this person is not being nice to me, or the food's terrible, or you name it, they told it to me. And so I went into this man's room, William, and he really didn't want anything to do with me. He's bedridden, completely dependent upon nursing skills, skilled nursing. But one day I went in, maybe the third time I went into him, and I said, "Hi, you know, Mr. So-and-so, how you doing?" And he says, well, Penny, you know, in his James Earl Jones voice, "I've been meaning to talk to you." And so I talked to him, and he was having a medical issue, and he actually did need some assistance. And he had a vision problem, and he suspected that they hadn't done a good evaluation. And so, but everyone was shutting him down. They wouldn't give him a second opinion. So I went in, and I helped. I called doctors. I talked to the facility, and he was able to get surgery, and he could see again. But after his surgery, he said to me, you know, I really didn't want to talk to you. I have everything I need. I have a bed. I have food, which was disgusting. He has a roommate, which was disgusting. It was stinky and icky, right? All the things you hear, it was. And he said, I have everything I need. My sister calls me on the phone, and I have the good book. Right. And he was perfectly satisfied living, you know, with impaired vision and everything because he had the good book. He had a community, right? And he had a roof over his head, basically. And I remember saying to William, boy, you really just encouraged me because I forget, you know, I forget. I feel like I need a house, I need this, I need that. And it was such a good reminder. He was totally dependent upon God. My other person, oh, and by the way, I never told them I was an attorney. And I had a little issue once with the administrator where I was fighting a little too hard, and he looked me up on LinkedIn, and he figured it out. But William, he said, Penny, you sure would make a damn good attorney. And I said, well, William, I am one. It was cute. My other person was Sue. And Sue had she was hearing impaired as a child. She was in her late 80s, and as a child, she had had meningitis. And so when I went into her room, I wrote so that she could read, and we would talk back and forth. And Sue had this roommate, typical New Jersey woman. I can't even tell you how many F-bombs she dropped. And not to stereotype people from New Jersey, they're not like that. But she was. She was like that. And she was terrible, and they were roommates, and my friend Sue was dying, and this woman is like, she's so selfish. And I'm like, oh my God. So we got them separated, and I let my friend die peacefully. But Sue, as she was losing different components of her life, she would sing, and she sang hymns. And they just flowed out of her. And it was such a blessing to go in and talk to Sue, because I never knew which scripture she was going to point me to. And at the end, I read some scripture to her, and she just was beautiful. And the last time I saw her, which was the day before she passed away, and it's not something to be sad about. She went home, right? But she said to me, Penny, I'm going home. And in a nursing home, they say that a lot. I want to go home. I don't want to be here. I want to go home. Or they get confused. I'm going home today. Sue knew she was going home to Jesus. And it was the most beautiful thing. And I remember thinking, all these songs that we sing in church, especially the ones that touch your heart, that bury the words of scripture in your heart. She carried that with her all the way home, and such a beautiful thing. So when we talk about walking humbly with God, that do justice, love, mercy, or kindness, walk humbly with God, it is 100% total dependence upon God. You're hanging on to scripture. That's it. You're hanging on to the good book, right? That's where I want to be at the end of my life. And, you know, you hear people say, never pray for patience, right? But my sister did. And she learned that lesson, right? I'm having a hard time with the dependence, because I need to pray that, but we need to be dependent upon God, right? So anyways, let's go back before we get to this. So anyways, I hope that is helpful to you. We need to, as we find our community, also find people to that take us to that place of total dependence. In our world that is so busy and so crazy, and especially being a mom or a grandma or whatever your role is, we need to be finding how we can be dependent upon God, because all that other stuff, it's noise. It's noise. Speaking of noise, as you are on your own journey, whether it's moving all over the place or having career changes or dealing with the monotony or whatever it is, don't forget on your journey, as you develop your story, to take your family along. Sometimes it gets too noisy with four kids, especially two teenage boys now, and they're just so loud. They're so loud. But I'm trying to teach them what I've learned on my journey. And one of those big items, and I'm just going to do a little plug here, but is to eliminate or limit the technology distractions. This is a huge passion of mine. I have made tremendous mistakes. I trusted the schools in teaching my kids technology issues, and I was not responsible myself. My husband is a very early adopter of technology, and so, like, here's an iPad, right? And here's a phone, and And of course, I was part of that too. But I have seen what it's done on this journey, and it's not a good thing. And there's a much, much bigger conversation. There are lots of resources out there, too many resources. But I think that we as parents have to take charge. We cannot delegate to the schools. We cannot delegate to other people. We have got to take charge of the technology issues with our kids. I did this in this past year for my seventh grader, in particular the larger one there. I just did a hard chop and cut it all out. And now occasionally he's allowed to use his phone in my presence, and it is strictly a tool, and I am there right there. We got rid of all things technology. My high schooler is a different, it's a different story. He's so busy. He's a football player, and his season is still going, and he is busier than all get out, and so he needs that phone to be able to communicate to people, his teammates, that kind of stuff. He doesn't have time to be gaming, so I'm less worried about him. But my younger kids, I have them back because I got rid of the technology. And it's so fun. They're so fun now. Does that mean they don't harass me for it? Yes, all the time. But as I've had this free time, I've helped them more. I've taken more hands-on to help them find their gifts, what they like, what they don't like, what they're good at, what they can share with other people. We do a lot more service as a family. My seventh grader is doing a side hustle where he's making sorbet and selling it to people. Like, we got side hustles from Jersey, I swear. Like, everyone had a side hustle. Yeah. Yeah, so anyways, and I'm going to wrap up with this. I'm not going to dive deep into this, but I am part of an organization called Screen Strong, and this isn't going to be shared publicly, so it's not the answer to everything, but they have a really good set of materials to help you. So if you need to do a detox with your kids or your family, Screen Strong has really good curriculum, but there's a lot more coming from other people and resources that we can all kind of help develop some things. But this has, they have tons of materials about like screen addiction warning signs. My kids have had all of these symptoms. They were naughty, like brats, terrible, right? Just awful, like crack addicts. And they're hiding and sneaking and just gross, right? So I think Screen Strong does a good job at kind of identifying some of the issues and then teaching kids and parents and now schools, what technology does to the brain and how it can be addictive, incredibly addictive. These are not new things, but they've packaged it in a really, really pretty way that's very useful. And my 10-year-olds love it, which is weird, but they love the materials. And then, again, I can't even see this, but just glancing at this, these are some ways you can take all that time that your kids are devoted to technology and you can refocus them on positive things. And so if anyone wants Screen Strong materials or anything, let me know. I can point you in that direction. But they're just one organization of many, but I'm happy with the curriculum that they have. So maybe that'll spur some thought on your end. So that is my journey, and I know I didn't go into a whole lot, but I just wanted to highlight some things and really focus on something that has really spoken to me, which is that scripture, Micah 6:8, do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. And I hope that as you continue going through this Christmas season, the season of Advent and expectation, as we look to the baby Jesus, right? And we look to the beauty that is in that, that we can remember that these things are really important and they can help us in our journey as well. Thank you so much.